podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
I hear some people talking about food, all that fun stuff. Hopefully nobody's talking about stuffing, because I do not like it. No, I'm just, man, Christmas, the spirit is it's alive and among us, right? And we hope that you've just been blessed during this holiday season as Christmas is, has come, and now it's went, if you want to say that. And now we get to look towards 2020. How weird is that to say that? I was thinking about that. I was thinking about 2020, and I couldn't help but think to myself, like, man, this is strange. In my entire life, anytime somebody talked about the 20s, our mind goes back to the 1920s, but we are now in the 2020. So anytime somebody says 20s from now on, we're not like talking about these 20s. It's crazy to me. It goes quickly, doesn't it? How fast the season moves, and before you know it, you're at the end of a year and looking at the next year that's upon us. And for me, when that happens, and that takes place every year, I like to look back at the previous year that I just experienced, and I like to try to remember the great things that took place for myself personally, but also just like in culture. And so I did something for you this morning. This is my Christmas gift to you. I put together a list of some of the greatest, what I found were some of the coolest moments of 2019. And I put them in a list here, and I want to rattle a few of these off. Some of these you'll remember. Some of these you'll go, oh, I forgot completely about that. But these were some of the cool moments, maybe in our culture, in our country, even outside of our country, from the year 2019. And so I want to start in sports, because there was this guy that maybe some of us have heard of named Tiger Woods, who won his first major event in 11 years when he won Augusta this year. That was a huge deal in the golf world. But then when you go beyond golf in 2019 and you look at like the four major sports in basketball, hockey, football, and baseball, you see some other things happen. Because there were three teams this year in the four major sports. Three out of the four teams who won the championship in their respective sport won it for the first time in their franchise's history. And so you had the Toronto Raptors in basketball, the St. Louis Blues in hockey, and the Washington Nationals in baseball all won the championship in their sport for the first time in franchise history, which is crazy cool. Super cool to see new teams winning it. And then, unfortunately, in the sport of football, we saw a team that wins it all the time win it again. And you may have heard of these guys, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the rest of the New England Patriots won their sixth Super Bowl this year, tying the record for the team in the NFL with the most Super Bowl victories. That record belonged to my team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is now tied between the Steelers and the Patriots. So good job, cheaters or something. So 2019 was good to them. But it goes beyond sports, right? Other good things happened in 2019 beyond sports. And so I'm going to rattle some of these off. One of those things was this. The humpback whale, which was close to literal extinction in the 1980s, they estimated in the 80s that there were only hundreds on the entire earth, hundreds of humpback whales left, and yet you hit 2019, and this year, this past year, they estimated that the population is now over 25,000 humpback whales on the earth, which exceeded most of the experts' most, like, optimistic expectations. And so that's cool, right? To see that like alive and well and not extinct, the humpback whale. And then you go even further into science and you see that there was new research done and presented at the 2019 NCRI Cancer Conference in November that detailed how breast cancer can now be detected up to five years before there are any clinical signs of it. 5 years before there are any clinical signs of breast cancer, it can now be detected by using a new blood test that identifies the body's immune response to substances produced by tumor cells. And they're working on this test, like right now, they're working on improving it so this test can be used universally in the near future and how that can help us when it comes to the health of us and our loved ones, right? Beyond that, there was this young man named Laurent Simons who spent the year of 2019 studying electrical engineering at Eindhoven University in the country of Belgium. And this guy, this young man, he plans to embark after he finishes that, he plans to embark on a PhD program in electrical engineering while also studying for a medicine degree in the United States. Why? Okay, so this super smart guy, cool, awesome. Why is that newsworthy? Well, because Laurent Simons is only 9 years old. Like, boy genius, right? Craziness. And then, of course, just recently in 2019, we were given the last installment in the Skywalker saga in this movie franchise called Star Wars that started back in 1977. Started in 1977. The Skywalker saga is ending in 2019. And literally 42 years and three trilogies later, nerds everywhere are still saying, "May the Force be with you," right? Am I right to that? Some of you are like, "Amen," right? Oh, and not to mention, Disney Plus came out. And they gave us their own Star Wars gift. I have two words for you. It's Baby Yoda. Check that out, right? If you haven't seen it, it's a big deal, people. 2019. And of course, there was this super heartwarming story of this boy who lived in Tennessee and went to school during kind of pep rally week or spirit week for his school. And there was a particular day that was like school pride where students would show up wearing like their favorite team's gear or their favorite college or university's t-shirt. And so there's this one young boy who shows up to school. He didn't have his favorite school was University of Tennessee, right? The Volunteers. And he didn't have a Tennessee shirt. So he took his own orange shirt. He took a piece of paper and he drew the logo of the University of Tennessee on the piece of paper and stapled the piece of paper to his t-shirt. And then unfortunately he went to school excited about participating in school pride day. And was kind of bullied and made fun of at lunch in the cafeteria for his homemade t-shirt. That wasn't just like a real t-shirt that had the University of Tennessee's logo on it. So he got bullied, and one of his teachers found out about it, and she had connections to the University of Tennessee, reached out, and the university got a hold of the little boy and sent him a package full of Tennessee gear, t-shirts, shoes, all this stuff. Not only that, but they did this too. They took his drawing and made it into an official University of Tennessee t-shirt that was for sale all over the country. That's cool, right? And not only that, but they took portions of the proceeds that they brought in for those t-shirts and they donated them to anti-bullying programs. Like, that is cool. Like, how sweet is that? That happened in 2019, the year of 2019. And so that's one of my traditions when it comes to the end of the year. I like to look back and see what cool things happen. But I'm going to bring you in on another one. I kind of grew up in the generation, I feel, that YouTube was invented for or during my generation when I was like in high school and stuff. I remember when it first came out, it was a big deal. And one of these channels on YouTube is called People Are Awesome. And every year, they compile videos of people just doing awesome things, crazy cool things that don't happen with everyday people or just on a weekly basis. They take these videos, and at the end of the year, they compile them into one big video. And this year, they put out their People Are Awesome edition 2019. And I watch this at the end of every year because I find it so fascinating. So I would love if you join in this tradition with me. We're going to watch just a small clip of People Are Awesome 2019. Let's check it out. Notice you from across the room. Man, like, how cool is that, right? Like, all that stuff is amazing. If you want to see more of that, like, all you got to look up is People Are Awesome 2019 on YouTube. You'll find more. I don't know if you can tell this about me, but I get to the end of the year. I love looking back at the great things that happened. I tend to naturally lean towards being a glass half full kind of guy, right? Like, I naturally like to lean that way. I just naturally do lean that way. I like looking at life and looking for the good in life, which is why I find it so interesting personally that whenever we get to the end of the year, I hear everyone, not everyone, but I hear a lot of people say things like this. Oh, glad that year's over with. Woo! 2019, adios. Bring on 2020. It's going to be so much better. Oh, 2019 was terrible. Am I alone in that? Like, don't we hear that about the previous year that we just experienced when it comes to the end of the year? And I know this about myself. If I'm not careful, I can sometimes find myself in the same frame of mind as that, where I'm basing my quality of life on the past and what I hope to be my future. And with today's constant onslaught of negativity through media and everywhere else, I think it's easy to become a prisoner of the moment, isn't it? Where we get all wrapped up in kind of this self-loathing and complaining culture that we live in when it comes to the end of the year. It can be really easy to fall into that ourselves, I think. To look back at 2019 and be like, ugh, this is brutal. Glad that year's over. Next year's going to be so much better. And then we get to the end of next year, we're like, ugh. 2020 was awful. Can't wait till we get to 2021, right? Like, we kind of do this cycle with ourselves, which I think brings us to today's passage of scripture in the book of Isaiah. And I want to set it up for you by just kind of unpacking a little bit of a story that a lot of you have probably heard before. A lot of us know this. Maybe you heard it growing up. And this passage comes after the story of Moses, of God sending Moses to Egypt to set free the Israelites from Pharaoh's rule. A lot of you know this. On their way out, you know, they're on their way to freedom. And on their way, God parts the Red Sea. And Moses and the Israelites walk through it, divided walls of water. They walk through it. They get to the other side. And they don't know it quite yet, but Pharaoh's army is like bearing down on them, but yet they get to the other side of the water and they look back and you see, they just see this reunion of the waters, right? And as the waters reunite, it swallows up Pharaoh and his army as they were trying to chase down Moses and the Israelites. And then you fast forward some time, right? So God does this crazy, awesome, cool miracle, parting of the Red Sea to deliver these people from slavery to their freedom. And then we fast forward some time, and the Israelites, after all that, they're now in Babylonian exile from their homeland in Judah for 70 years. 70 years. So God did this cool thing, and now they're in exile. They can't go back home to their homeland for 70 years because they're being ruled and conquered by this guy named King Nebuchadnezzar. And so imagine being in exile from your homeland for that long, for 70 years, under another nation's rule, and yet you look back into history and you see that God did this crazy thing, this awesome miracle for you. He did that once before. Like, you look back into history and you recognize, like, God rescued us once before. Like, you probably have, if you're the Israelites, you probably have these feelings of longing for the miracles of the past. And that's where I want to jump into the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. We're going to look at verses 18 through 21. Isaiah 43, 18 through 21. And it says this. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. And I believe this about this passage, that God is saying in that moment to the Israelites, listen, you're too focused on the past. And in their in their situation, in their scenario, they're focused on the good things of the past even. And yet God is still saying, listen, you're too focused on the past. Focus on me now in the present and see what I'm doing in the midst of your life here and now. Focus on that, because even in the midst of the trials you've been experiencing, the 70 years of exile that you've been experiencing, I have not forsaken you. I believe God is saying that in this passage to the Israelites, just as much as I believe God is saying that to you and I here today. That even in the midst of the trials and the tribulations, that when we look back on 2019 and we look at the tough things that happened, the hard things that we went through, that God is saying, focus on me now. I'm doing something new right now. And as I read and I studied this passage, I had three formulas pop into my head. If you've heard me speak before, I've said this before, I'm not a math fan. I don't love math. And yet for some reason, every time I write a message, God works in me in this way, I end up with formulas in my message. I don't know how that works, but God does that in me. And so I had three formulas pop into my head that I sensed God saying to the Israelites. And yet, like I said before, I sense God saying essentially to each and every single one of us here today. And so here's the first formula I pull from Isaiah 43. Living the good old days is greater than remembering them. Like, don't we all say this phrase? When we get together with people we've known for a long time, people we love, people we've made memories with, people we've had experiences with, we get together with people and we say this phrase. We go, remember when that thing happened? Ah, weren't those the good old days? Oh, the good old days. Back when life was this and life was that, the good old days. Remember those? Imagine it's like the Israelites. Imagine them. I imagine them probably saying the same phrase, looking back and what God had done. And said, remember when God parted the Red Sea? Oh, man, do you remember that? Man, the waters divided. We walked through. We went through to our freedom. It was amazing. You remember that? That was so awesome. Man, I wish God would do that for us again. Man, well, I remember God being so present then. Like, where is God now as we're in exile? Gosh, remember the good old days. And yet I think this, that in the midst of us probably feeling like that a lot of the time, remembering the good old days, I think we have an opportunity every single day to make the choice to live for Jesus in that day. That's a good old day right there. See, one of my favorite shows, you maybe have gotten to know this about me because I've used clips from this in the past and past messages. One of my favorite shows is The Office, and there's a character in The Office as the whole series is wrapping up. The final, it's like one of the final episodes that they're in. There's a character named Andy who says this quote, and I just love this quote. He says a line and it goes like this. He goes, I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them. Man, I love that line. But it's also sad. That line's sad to me too, because I believe that we as people, we longingly look back at what God did or did not do in our past instead of realizing that God is doing something right here, right now within us. And some of us are missing out on some very present good old days, and we don't even realize it. Living the good old days is so much greater than remembering them, because God's doing something in you today that's making today a good old day. Do you recognize that? Here's the second formula I pull from Isaiah 43. Finding hope in Christ is greater than finding hope in tomorrow. See, a lot of us, if we worried about the past and we've like tried to get away from that, this is kind of the opposite of that first formula. This is the other side of it, where we overcorrect and we overcompensate by worrying about the future instead of the past. We get like stressed and anxious, like what's going to happen? I don't know what this year's going to hold for me. And we say things, or maybe we even say things to ourselves to put hope in tomorrow and a future. And we say things like this, well, when I graduate and move out, things will be so much better. When I get that perfect job or that raise, then everything will work out in life then. Oh, man, when I retire, then life will be good. And don't we say these things all the time? We put a lot of stock and a lot of weight in that tomorrow. We make ourselves stressed, anxious, worried over it. And yet we see in Matthew 6, verse 34, it says this, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. See, I think that there's a difference between trusting that God's going to do something good in our tomorrow and worrying about our tomorrow. Those are two different things. I think we can look forward to tomorrow and the future and what God's going to do. It's when we get stressed about it that I think it's having the same impact and effect on us as when we stress and worry about what happened in 2019 that we wish would go away in 2020. See, in my short life here on this earth, my short 30 years of life here, I started to realize that when I put my hope in earthly things, life becomes a lot more hopeless than when I put my hope in the one who came to seek and save the lost. Man, when I put my hope in God, I see life a little bit differently. And when I focus on Jesus instead of worrying about the future, I find that he's writing the best story arc that my life could ever get, whether it looks like what I want it to or not. And I'll trust Jesus through the process because I know that his end results will be the best plot line or maybe the best plot twist that my life story could ever have. And so I trust him through that, trying not to worry too much about the past and yet trying not to overcompensate and worry so much about tomorrow. And again, try to focus on God and the new thing he's doing in me today. Here's the third formula, Isaiah 43. Pulling it from that, it says this, following Jesus is greater than saying you're following Jesus. I think all of us in here maybe at times have acted like everything's great in our life when we know that it's not, right? Like we say hi to somebody in passing. Hey, how's it going? Good, how are you? Good. And then we just move on. We just kind of say that, right? I think we act like everything couldn't be better at times when we know we're kind of dying on the inside. And we tell ourselves and we tell everyone else around us maybe that we follow Jesus. Yeah, I go to church. I do this. I go to that. I'm in a small group. We tell them these things. And then we forget to even talk to him on a daily basis. And then sometimes our charade is just that. It's a facade. And maybe we don't even recognize it. And so we ask ourselves, I have to ask myself this. When was the last time that you had a heart-to-heart with Jesus? When was the last time you committed substantial time in prayer to Jesus? And not just like requesting things from God, right? But maybe just listening to him. Was that recent for you? And if it was recent, does that happen every day for you, every week? Substantial time in prayer every month, once a year? How often is it for you? Because I know this. I know that relationships take two to tango. Like if I walked out here up to Travis and I asked Travis, like, hey, how's your day, man? And Travis just sits there and is like, doesn't say anything, completely silent. It's kind of a one-sided relationship, isn't it? Even at that, is it even a relationship at that? It takes two to tango. If Travis came up to me and said the same thing and I just didn't give much back, how much of a relationship do we have? If I'm not putting the time into my relationship with Jesus, that I know that my faith or my so-called faith is just for show. Because I know I'm not putting the time into it. And if it's just for show, I find myself in dark times. Because the negativity of the world starts to creep in. And I can become something that I don't want to be, hopeless. Yet there's hope found in Jesus. And when I put time into that relationship with him, I think I start to see the world in a different light. You see, I believe when you're right in your relationship with Jesus, our perspective on the outside world is right-sized. Like, yeah, like, life brings, like, trials and tribulations, tries to knock us down, like, different things hit us, right? But, like, we see life through the lens of Jesus. And yet, even though that's the case, and we see life through the lens of Jesus, sometimes the storms of life, those winds, they're hard, and they actually knock us down. But what's great is that because we're viewing life through the lens of Jesus, we get right back up because we see those storms of life not as things that keep us down, but then as things that Jesus is going to grow us through. The winds of life can still knock us down, but they don't keep us down because Jesus is working a new thing within us. When we inflate our life with this guy named Jesus, we see life differently. Our perspective on the storms of life just is different. We're changed because of it. And yet, if our relationship with Jesus is, I'll be gentle. If our relationship with Jesus is all talk and not enough walk, I think we find ourselves a bit deflated. I think our perspective is not quite what we experienced over here. See, we don't handle the storms of life as well. Like, they irritate us, they bother us, right? It feels like a noogie. Like, they just bother us a little bit more because all of a sudden we're not looking at life through the lens of Jesus. We're looking at life through our own lens. And I don't know about you, but when I try to do that in my life, you know, I think I'm good enough that I can figure things out, that I know what's best. When I put my lens before the lens of Christ, I disappoint myself. I find out that I'm not as strong as I thought I was, and maybe I would even go as far as to say I'm a little bit weak. Could you guys give it up for my lovely assistants, Blake and Mike? When I asked them to come up and do this, I didn't even tell Blake what I was doing. So he came up here and thought I was going to knock him over after he saw me knock Mike over. Oh, man, it's good. We're talking about looking back a little bit, right? And looking forward a little bit. I want to bring it back to 2005. Go back to 2005 with me for a second. I remember in 2005, I was going to this huge Christian concert festival called Ichthus. And it took place in a place called Wilmore, Kentucky. Some of you have been. I see, yes, some of you have been to Ichthus. Know what it is, at least. And I went with my youth group. I was heading into my junior year of high school. I went with my student ministry, and I brought like three of my best friends from high school along with me. And this was this big festival that had some of the biggest names in Christian music showing up and playing and doing their thing at it. This had some of the biggest names in the church world coming and being like speakers at this thing. It was just like this awesome four-day weekend thing. And you went and you stayed in tents. You camped out in tents in this huge field, this whole concert festival. None of it was inside. It was all outside in this giant field in the middle of Kentucky, bluegrass everywhere. And I remember going there and camping out and getting ready because I was a huge fan growing up of this like Christian little pop punk band called Reliant K. And they were gonna be headlining one night, and all my friends and I loved this band, and we set out to get there early, like hours before Reliant K was playing, so that we could get all the way to the front, have like that front row seat right up at the gate, right? So we could be right there, be like, yes, Reliant K, hopefully we'll feel their sweat hit us. We wanna be that close, right? Like, I don't know, weird high schoolers. And so I remember getting up there like hours before, sitting through bands that we didn't like, didn't want to hear, just because we wanted to hear Reliant K and see them up that up close and personal. So we did that. We got there super early. We're way up at the front. And Reliant K comes out. Everybody goes crazy. There's thousands of people at this concert. Thousands of people. Huge field just packed with people. Reliant K comes up and they play their first song. Everyone, the crowd's going crazy. And all of a sudden this guy comes out on the stage that you hadn't seen yet. And he's holding a microphone like I am now. And he walks out, and he's like in his 60s. And they're like, man, I didn't know they added like a guy 40 years older than the rest of the band members of the band. Must be new. Let's see what he's got. He comes out, and the band kind of backs up and just kind of gives him the stage. And he comes out, and he says a few words that no one likes to hear when they're in a huge, massive crowd like this. He goes, everyone remain calm, which is never a great thing to hear in that moment, right? Like, remain calm. Why? Like, why should I be calm? I'm excited. Reliant K is playing. This guy's now telling me I need to be calm. He tells the crowd of thousands of people that a tornado has landed and touched ground just mere miles from this site, and that the path that it's on, it's headed directly towards the grounds. And then he tells us to, again, remain calm. We would love it if everyone just calmly and peacefully returned to safety in their tents. Like, that would save us, right? And so I remember, I'm up at the front, remember? I remember turning around and seeing this sea of thousands of people do exactly the opposite of what that guy said. Nobody was calm, and it turned into chaos. Everybody just started sprinting, taking off, hightailing it out of there, myself included. My friends and I, we're trying to stick together. I lose all of them. I don't know where they are. It's a sea of people. You're worried that you're going to get trampled. Other people are going to get hurt, but you're also worried about getting to safety. We at least knew we had a bus to go back to, and so that felt a little bit safer than our tent. And so I remember just sprinting, running through crowds of people, not knowing where I was going. And I came around a corner, and I remember hitting, basically running right straight into a chain link fence. And I looked left, and I looked right down the fence, and I see no opening to it. I'm like, how are people getting out of here? So I do the one thing I can think of. I climb the fence. And I jump over it, and I look back, and I'm telling you, I started a revolution. All these people are, it looked like a scene from, The Walking Dead, where, all these bodies are trying to, clamber over this fence to get to the other side. There were literally security guards, trying to pull people down because they didn't want the fence to collapse and hurt anybody. It was absolute chaos. And I remember finally getting back to the bus, running there, the wind's whipping, and dark clouds everywhere. I get on the bus. And one of my friends is already there. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. You made it. My buddy made it. Where are my other guys? Where'd they go? Did you get split from them? Yeah, I don't know where they are. Everybody from the group makes it back except for my two buddies. Until 30 minutes later when they arrive at the bus. Everybody's freaking out. Where were you? Where were you at? We didn't see you. We thought you were lost. We had no idea. What happened that it took you that long to get back to the bus? And they start to tell us this story. I mean, we're on the bus, our youth pastor's praying over us. He's got his guitar out, like kumbaya, worship songs over this whole place, right? And my two friends make it back, and they start to tell us this story. They're like, you wouldn't believe what we saw. We thought, in the middle of the chaos, everyone running back to the tents and the bus, we thought, what better of a moment to not have to wait in line to get an elephant ear. So in the middle of chaos, thousands of people running back to their tents to safety, they run to the concession stand and purchase the one last elephant ear before the stand closes down to split between the two of them. And this area was it was up on a hill and overlooked the entire area where the concert was taking place. And they sat there eating their sugary cinnamon goodness together, watching just the chaos ensue, watching people scramble. And they said that while they were watching, they saw something that they'll never forget. As they're watching the storm in the distance kind of move our way, and everybody running for their lives, they basically see this wall of darkness, this gray color, cloud, rain, everything, right? This wall of it. And they say it was like it evaporated up into the sky, right before, not that far before it hit the campground. I don't know how to explain it. They're like, it literally just sucked back up into the clouds, and it was just gone. It was all around us, but it never hit us. And I'll never forget this. After this festival was over, and everybody was unharmed, and this tornado had never actually hit us, you started to see the news stories come out. It was before everybody had a cell phone on them, to immediately see radars or see news stories that came out as they happened. After the weekend, news stories come out about this tornado that hit in Kentucky was headed straight for Ichthus Festival. And no joke, you Google this, look this up. There's stories of it out there still. This tornado basically sucked up into the sky, went over the campgrounds, landed back on the other side, and continued its path that it was on. thousands of people gathered to, man, celebrate Jesus. And my friends witnessed this, witnessed this complete miracle take place before us. And yet I didn't witness it. I was running for my life to the bus. And I look back at that story and I sit there and I can't help but think to myself, are we missing out? Are we missing out? Like, is that you? Are you missing out on the new thing that God is doing in your midst because you're distracted by the past or stressed and worried about the future? You're so focused on this thing that just took place, this tornado that came through your life in 2019 that just wrecked everything, that you're missing the miracle that God's working in your life right now in your midst. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying you should grab an elephant ear and stand outside when there's a tornado coming your way. Please don't take that as one of my major points from this message. But I do think that story, when I think back on it, it's a strong metaphor for how we as people tend to allow ourselves to become distracted from God's presence in the midst of tough times. Because God, the scripture tells us, God's providing water in the wilderness. He's providing streams in the wasteland of our life. Do you recognize that? Do you choose to seek that out? Do you choose to seek him out? Because I think this, I believe whether we choose to seek him out in that or not will determine one of two things. We're either one, living into who God has called us to be, because we've inflated our lives so much with Jesus that even when the storms hit, we can't help but see him in it. Or number two, we're a shell of ourselves. We're a shell of the person God is calling us to be. I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward because they're going to lead us in a moment of worship to end this service. And I'm excited for it. But before they do, I'm going to have what I call a Mr. Rogers moment, which is really fitting because there's a movie in theaters right now dealing with Mr. Rogers a little bit. But I want to have this Mr. Rogers moment where I come, I don't know if any of you have seen the show, you remember it, where he used to come and kind of sit, like come a little closer to the camera, he'd sit out and have a heart-to-heart with the audience. I'm going to have a Mr. Rogers moment with you guys here now. So bear with me as I have this moment because I want to live into this moment fully, okay? So it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Will you be mine? I don't remember if Mr. Rogers spun or not, but I did. So some of you are out there sitting there like, yes, Mr. Rogers was my jam. And some of you are sitting here going, who? Who's Mr. Rogers? Here's the deal. I believe this about life. I think in certain ways, you get out of life what you put into it. And I think we have an opportunity before us as the worship band's going to lead us in worship. As we exit 2019 and we head into 2020, I think we have an opportunity to just, man, make a joyous noise for the Lord and what he's done and what he's going to continue to do and what he's doing right now here in this moment. God's doing something in your midst. Don't miss out on it. Man, look for it. Seek him out in it. And yet some of you are, I get this, some of you are sitting here and you've been sitting through this message and you're going, man, you have no idea what happened to me in 2019. You don't understand what I went through in 2019. That's really easy for you to say, but if you only knew, and you went through something that, gosh, broke you, it broke your spirits, made you feel like, God, I know you've been here before, but where are you now? And on the other hand, some of you had 2019 as like one of your best years yet. Like 2019 was amazing. It was awesome for you. If 2019 was difficult for you, I want to say this to you. I'm sorry. And I don't say that condescendingly. I genuinely say that because, man, I've been there. I get it. Even though I couldn't possibly get it, I kind of get it. I think we all kind of get it at times in our lives. And yet, man, I have this hope in this guy named Jesus that he's just going to, man, he's going to take that stuff and just turn it into something brand new. He's going to do something new in me. He's going to do something new in you. And I find that if instead of focusing on the past of 2019 and going, man, God, that was tough. I don't know where you were in that. Why aren't you here now? I don't feel you. I don't sense you. Instead of focusing on the past, instead of focusing, worrying, and stressing about the future, I find that if I live into the moment right here, right now, and I focus on Jesus, I can't help but notice the things he's doing in my life right now. So maybe for you, 2019 wasn't great. But what if maybe, just maybe, 2020 was your best year yet, because God is about to do something. Man, will you seek that out this year in 2020? Will you look at 2020 and go, God, man, you know what's happened in my life. I'm just going to entrust you with everything moving forward. I'm going to give you everything I've got inside of me moving forward. 2020 is going to be a year where I'm forever changed because of you. Because I believe if we do that, we see that Jesus is doing a new thing and will continue to do a new thing in us. It'll spring up within us like a fountain within us. And maybe then we'll see that 2020 is our best year yet and that God is doing that new thing. You guys pray with me. Father, I just want to lift up the year 2019 to you. It's already happened. There's days left to it, and yet, God, I want to thank you for what you did in my life in 2019. Whether it was good, bad, whether it looked like what I thought it should look like or not, God, you were here with me. And I'm just grateful because whatever I went through in 2019, it somehow, some way is going to grow me as a person and as a follower of you, God. I pray that it leads me to lean on you more so than I ever have before in the past. And yet, God, before it's even happened, I'm going to tell you how grateful I am for 2020. Because I just believe that you're good. I just believe in this nature of goodness that exists in you. God, again, that if 2020 doesn't look like what I think it should, God, I'm just going to praise you through it. And I'm going to bring glory to your name through it. God, when that thing that I think should happen doesn't happen, I'm going to say, that's because you've got something better planned for me. I don't know what it is yet, but you've got something better. And so, God, we do. We give you our lives. We give you last year. We give you this next year. We give you the in-between, God. You are good. Man, you are good. God, my prayer, my challenge to myself and to all of us even in 2020 is to look for you, simply to look for you. Because I think when we do that, we start to see you in everything. So Jesus, we just praise you in that. Celebrating the year that we just experienced, celebrating what's about to happen in 2020, because God, you're good and your presence is so great. Thank you for loving us the way you do. We're gonna spend some time just saying how much we love you back. Just, man, just how extravagant our love is for you because you first loved us. We praise and worship you in Jesus' name. Closing out 2019. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.